Chapter 24. Reunion. Fate versus Will. Prophecies. 5 feet of bright steel shone in the gloom, glowing with the inner light of an active disruption field. Kurz shaded his dark eyes, playfully grimacing as if he were engaged in mock battle with a child.
"Do put that away, brother dear. There is no need."
"You are no brother of mine. Not any longer," said Sanguinius. He paced slowly around the transept, circling the throne. He shifted the grip on his hilt, ready for Kurz to strike. Kurz was fully armored in filthy blue battle plate. Around its neck seal, his skin was grimy. The lines of the metal were thickly brown with old blood, but not his claws. Hooks on each wrist protruded far past his hands and gleamed with recent polishing. Sanguinius's wings twitched. He doubted he would survive this encounter. Kurz had taxed both the lion and Gilliman when they had fought him together. But then, as he thought on it, flashes of the future burst in his mind, presenting him with a succession of strikes and counter-strikes. Kurz leaping from the throne, a flurry of blades. Sanguinius gutted. Sanguinius leaping into the air. Kurz struck down. Kurz waiting until Sanguinius was close, then striking his head from his shoulders. Sanguinius anticipating this and burying his sword in Kurz's sternum. He shook his head, dazed. Rapidly unwinding possibilities inundated his consciousness in blood. He attempted to shake them away, but they would not go. Kurz watched him with a species of malevolent curiosity. He idly tapped his long foot on Ascalon's breastplate. The fallen legionary's perfect, noble face had the deathless beauty of a sculpture. Sanguinius listened hard to hear if his son still breathed. The soundscape of the hall was his to pass as he would through his post-human senses. Every draught and echo rolled drum loud. The working of Kurz's metabolism was the growling of a volcano close to eruption. Sanguinius's own body threatened to smother the sounds he wished to hear. For an anxious second, he detected nothing. Then he heard the whisper of air passing the fallen sanguinary guard's lips, the soft thud of twin hearts. Hope leapt in his breast. "Ascalon lives?" Kurz's lips parted a little to reveal the black stubs of his teeth. Sanguinius balked at the reek of his breath. Kurz rubbed a dirty finger and thumb together, a merchant's gesture.
"Insurance. Nothing more. If you're nice, I'll let you have him back."
"You have come to kill me, as you tried to kill the lion and Rabute."
"I have not."
"Don't lie to me, Conrad. Why go to the effort? We both know how this will end." Kurz rolled his eyes.
"How many times must I tell you people that I have left that name behind? Night Haunter. Night Haunter. It's not so hard to remember."
He shook his head. Curtains of greasy hair brushed his warplate.
"Ah, not too close now, angel."
He rocked Ascalon with his foot, as one might rub the belly of a pet.
"I can end the life of this one in a trice."
His ruined smile widened.
"But I won't. Promise. I'm here to talk."
"I have nothing to say to you."
"In that case, I shall go, then. So many profound apologies, dear brother," snapped Kurz. "I have something to say to you, angel, or does what I want not matter to the glorious emperor of mankind?"
"You always were querulous, Kurz."
"Night Haunter," said Kurz with feigned hurt.
He slumped back in the throne. Ascalon's armor creaked under his foot as he pressed on it, and he sniggered.
"The absolute factual nature of it, my brother, is that I am not sure I could kill you if I wished to."
He flicked dried blood from under a dirty nail.
"You and Gilliman speak so often of logic, so let us consider the evidence. In skill at arms, I outmatch you. I always have. I outmatch most of you. I am armored, you are not. Your blade is of simple steel and energy. I have my claws.
He tapped the back of one set on the eagle armrests of the throne. Try, then, said Sanguinius. Attack. Let us put our relative skills to the test.
Ah, but there is more to the issue than simple warcraft, Kurz chuckled. Both you and I share something. A vision for the future, and that is a great equalizer. When one can guess what the other intends, what would be the point?
This is the damn point, said Sanguinius, and angled the tip of his sword at his brother. He leapt at Kurz on swift wings, bursting their chains as they snapped open. Kurz moved so quickly Sanguinius barely saw him leave the throne. His brother became one with the shadows, his cloak whirling around him. Any other creature would have been undone, but Sanguinius was not. The flashes of foresight grew more intrusive, banging into his visual cortex as harsh as nails. He saw where Kurz would be a moment before he was there, and attacked into the future. His sword was met by a claw, Kurz's return blow he expected, parrying it with his sword. And the next, he saw an opening. Kurz closed it. Kurz moved to gut him. Sanguinius was elsewhere. This went beyond anticipation. He saw. They fought around the throne hall, the angel and the night haunter. At speeds the normal human eye would struggle to follow, they matched each other blow for blow. Both saw their foe's next movement before it occurred, and countered appropriately. Sanguinius's visions, ordinarily so infrequent, poured through his head in a maddening torrent. For long minutes they clashed, neither able to gain the advantage. By unspoken agreement, the two of them parted. Kurz's stink was much increased by his exertion. Sanguinius's flawless skin was sheened with perspiration. They panted lightly.
You see, not quite the same for you, I think, but you have a little insight into what my life is, said Kurz.
He somersaulted backward, landing lightly on his feet by Ascalon.
And that is boringly predictable.
I am nothing like you, said Sanguinius.
No, said Kurz. All light and honor and hope and glory, he spat bitterly. Whereas I must suffer a life bereft of surprise, each moment previewed before it occurs. Pity poor me.
Why are you here, Kurz? Said Sanguinius. Are you to keep me talking until some guileful trap is revealed? I will not be gulled like our brothers.
No tricks. I speak truthfully. I come to speak the truth.
He smiled widely and bowed.
There was a grace to Kurz's movements that seemed obscene when performed by his gangrel figure. His presence was freighted with foreboding. He moved suddenly, almost too quickly to follow. Dark things in dark legends moved so. He stooped and grabbed Ascalon's ankle.
I know, he said, with childish enthusiasm. Your next pronouncement is so.
I will call my guard, my sons in gold. They and I will slay you. You cannot stop us all.
Kurz mimicked Sanguinius's voice cruelly, imbuing it with a vanity and vapidity Sanguinius feared accurate.
Well, they won't, and I can. You saw what I did to the Lion's Sons, and to those of the Avenging Bean Counter. I will do it again, and gladly. If that is not sufficient to dissuade you, then the death of this one, so dear to you, so beloved, will be.
You are repugnant, said Sanguinius.
So pretty, so stupid. Father's favored cockerel, preening in the hencoop. Is monstrousness not rather the point of me?
Kurz replied bitterly.
Tell me, brother, I am curious. Are you one of the ones who believe our scattering was chance, or one of the ones who do not? I think Gilliman is in the latter camp. I can see the thought ticking round that tedious track of a mind he has, like a rodent in a maze, desperate to find a different way out, but knowing there is only one exit, and a feline waits without.
Tick, 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 he cackled, raking his talons slowly through the air.
Claws on the walls.
You came to ask me this. You are insane.
I came, Kurz shrugged. I am asking it. Does my purpose matter? Come, angel, do you really think it was chance? I want to know. Each one of us was cast away upon a world that turned out to suit our characters perfectly. Characters our father engineered. Furthermore, the characters of many of our Legion's Terran sons were also matched with those of the worlds we were found upon. And, oh yes, we can both see the future. I rather suspect, therefore, that Father can read it like a periodical. Can you stand there and tell me that it was chance? No? No reply?
No, said Sanguinius quietly.
No reply? Or no, as in no, you don't believe it, goaded Kurz.
Sanguinius's sword lowered a fraction. Why he confided in Kurz he could not discern, but the words would out, and he could not have stopped them, even had that been his desire.
No, I do not believe our losing was chance.
Yes, yes, you see?
Kurz became excited by Sanguinius's agreement.
A man who plans so long and so hard to be taken in so at the moment of triumph? Nonsense! Congratulations. You are half the way to seeing the truth.
That our father was a liar?
Was,
said Kurz with a smile, his brow furrowing for just a fraction of a second.
Indeed, a liar and more. For I am a monster, because that is all I can be. And you are an angel likewise.
You had a choice, Kurz. Father only made us. He did not shape us.
Kurz's eagerness turned into a snarl.
I was made to be thus. Nothing could change it. I know, because I tried. I did.
Kurz's eyes gleamed with tears.
For what? So that he might see me suffer as I failed? That he might tick off his observations upon his laboratorium chart? What kind of father makes a child to be one way, then castigates him for being so? You think me cruel? He is crueler! I was to be sanctioned for doing what I was made to do.
He clashed his teeth, suddenly vicious.
How is that fair? How can I follow the man who did this to me?
As quickly as a wave is spent, his ire subsided, and his brittle, agreeable manner returned.
So, you see, he deserved betrayal.
That I do not believe, Conrad. Fathers lie to their sons to protect them, to save them. Our father hid himself for untold millennia among mankind, revealing himself only when he deemed the time right. The story of our scattering was a necessary lie, if indeed it is a lie. The difference between you and me is that you see sinister purpose behind his actions. I do not. His secrecy hurt me, Conrad, as much as it hurts you, and the conclusion you have reached hurts me also. But I will not cast myself into despair. That is the true difference between you and me. I will not abandon our father's dream. His plan is for the good of mankind.
Kurz sniffed. When not threatening violence, there was something pathetic about him.
Good given to a species singularly lacking in goodness. Did you know that here at the heart of Gilliman's perfect little paradise, there are those that are not cared for? I have been hiding in the Illyrian quarters. Robute's vaunted civil codes wrap themselves around the edges of such places, tight as walls, but do not penetrate its wards.
Nighthaunter approached his brother. Sanguinius matched him step for step, keeping the distance between them. Kurz dragged Ascalon around like a morose child might carelessly drag a toy, unaware of the damage being inflicted to the things it cared for as it fulminated on some meaningless slight.
I have been there, among the outsiders, the unvalued. They speak of me in whispers. They have learned to fear the dark. But has our brother found me? Has the lion thought to look there or anywhere on Macragge? No. Idiocy. I practically shouted to them to come for me. If you would look at this world and see the hope of the future, go to the poor quarters. There you will see the despair of the present. And you know as well as I, hope for the future is a lie. Everything goes back to the beginning, and our beginning is so very dark.
Is that what you believe, brother? That all this was inevitable?
I believe Horus's turning was part of our father's intended path.
I do not think so. Kurz threw up his arms, as if he would embrace his brother. Ascalon's boot clanked on the floor as he dropped it.
See, what a marvelous heart-to-heart we are having. Why should we not? Our brothers have close relationships. Fulgrim regarded Ferus very highly before he killed him. And then Ferus was also close to Vulcan. So easy to dislike Ferus, but so much loved by others. Perhaps there is some hope for me?
There is hope for us all, Conrad. Kurz smirked.
No, there isn't. I am hated. You have always hated me.
You are not hated.
I am hated, he shouted. As much as Ferus was loved. But what of love? It is he that is dead, and I that live. My death will not come upon me unawares, unlike his, struck down by one who professed to love him. With such relationships between our siblings, why should you and I not be close? I will not be so presumptuous to say we are the same. That would be a desperate nonsense. But similar, yes. Yes, I think you can see that, can't you? An angel of light and an angel of darkness.
He clapped his hands and clasped them together, but his expression changed from one of joy to one of puzzlement.
I wonder, if our positions had been reversed, would I be there in golden glory and you stood here in filth? I do not think so. I think that you would be dead,
he said softly. Then, by your own admission, we are not alike.
We are brothers. You and I are alike.
You cannot have it both ways. Kurz sneered.
Why not? Father did. We are both rageful. You know rage. I can taste it on you. It clings to you like the stink on a weak old corpse.
We are Promethean beings. All of us are troubled by temper. It does not distress me, said Sanguinius.
I know better. You think yourself the master of anger because you have faced it and you have fought it and you have won. Maybe you are, brother. Maybe you have conquered the monster in us all. Gilliman has never faced it, not truly. Gilliman's dear old Uten was there to hold his hand when he was scared. He buried his passions under a sheet of ice and calculations while Mother smoothed his hair. Who was there for the Night Haunter as he shivered in the dark? I was sent away, alone, to a dark hell.
His voice thickened with emotion.
I have known privation that would destroy you. I saw the weak bedeviled by the strong, raped, mutilated, consumed. And I raged against it. And I tried, Sanguinius.
He held out his hand.
I tried so hard to make it right.
his hand clenched into a fist.
Until I saw that I was fighting the true order of the universe, I understood that I cannot fight suffering. I came to realize that I had been made to perfect it. We are born, we suffer, and then we die. Nothing we do can prevent that. Nothing we are is ours to choose. It is all set right at the beginning. It was all set long ago. Why can you not see this one simple truth?
An image. The image flickered into Sanguinius's mind. Himself dead upon the floor, Horus's face bloated by unimaginable evil leering over his corpse. Conrad nodded encouragingly, as if he saw it too.
We live in a universe where our thoughts and fears give birth to things that greatly desire to devour us. They seem stronger than we, these Neverborn, but they are not. Without us, they are nothing. Without them, we are hollow vessels of clay, hurrying to be dust again. The same coin, different sides, and we strive to annihilate each other. There is no point, Sanguinius, no reason to any of it. Do you not see?
Kurz became wheedling, desperate to convince.
Father is the worst of all. He is troubled by the vice of hope, Angel. He sees more clearly than any of us. He knew everything. He lied to protect himself. The warp, the powers there. It is a sign of his weakness that he could not trust us with that knowledge. I have seen so much. There are gods, and they hunger. Nothing can triumph over them. There is only suffering, and death is no release.
He spoke quickly, the words tumbling out of him in a rush of despair. Acid spittle leapt out with them, poisoning the flagstones.
Hope is the cloth that blinds us. Rip it from your eyes, and you shall see what I see. Brother,
he said in a hush,
I see the vision that haunts you. You will fall at the hand of Horus. I know as surely as I know I will die at the will of our father, that is and always was the culmination of his plan.
He scowled.
Perhaps we shall not be friends. Family is so overrated.
Your talk does not deceive me.
I am not deceiving you,
yelled Kurz.
Listen to me, you pompous fowl. Only you of all of them, Sanguinius. Only you can understand.
Sanguinius interrupted him. You are here for a reason, Kurz. What is it? Your sons assailed the Pharos world. You...
My sons?
Said Kurz quickly. Kurz's moods flickered rapidly, the candle of his sanity forever on the verge of extinguishment. A change came over him, and he was suddenly thoughtful, his comments of moments ago forgotten.
Really?
He tapped his chin with a ragged nail.
How very interesting.
You feign ignorance. Speak truth to me in the spirit of honesty you demanded.
My ignorance is genuine. I truly have no idea what they are doing. I abandoned them at Thremas. I thought them all dead. That was my intention in any case.
He snickered to himself.
But I am quite impressed. They start a war on their own. Clever boys. I thought they had lost their way completely. Yes, murderers and fiends all. I hate them, but perhaps they will have their uses after all. This rather puts a different light on things. If I cannot control them, and they will not die, then I may choose to direct them once more.
The faults of your sons are the faults of the father.
Oh, how very apt, as we exhibit the faults of our own. My children are not like yours, so noble, so brave, so beautiful.
He cupped his face in his hands.
Do they know what poison you have put inside them? Don't be so po-faced. I know the thirst you hide. Such things I saw in the warp. One of father's little friends tried to kill me with a demon. It didn't work, but it carried me into the Empyrean. Had quite the view while I was there.
Nothing can survive the warp.
I did. Am I nothing? You hurt my feelings. I survived, and now I know everything. I know how it will end.
A sly look came over him.
And I know what Father really intended. Not that it matters. The galaxy will burn forever. There are things coming that make Horus's little insurrection seem positively benign.
You are lying. Kurz waggled his head.
I do lie. That is very true, quite often. I'm so sorry about that. Call it a personal failing. But I do not lie this time. I am telling the truth because, you see, I have no reason not to tell the truth.
There was a noise at the door, then a shoving. Muffled shouting came from outside.
As I foresaw, the shining sons of the angel come.
Kurz picked Ascalon up. His spare frame hid enormous strength, and he carried the blood angel like a doll.
Time to go. Time to finish our little chat. Now I come to the meat of it. Tell me, brother, I saw a great vision of you at Cygnus. I saw what happened there. I heard the howls of the Neverborn as you threw them back into the warp.
That was before you came here.
There is no time, fool! The warp showed me that. Everything happens at once. Don't you see? That is how we see. Time is a book to be read at will. Tell me, why did you not turn? You could have snuffed Horus out like a candle. They offered you the galaxy as a plaything.
You overstate their offer. I will not be a slave.
You are a slave. A slave to Father's will, and a slave to fate. Our only choice is what manner of slavery we shall embrace, and even that choice is an illusion.
There is always a choice.
There never is a choice,
spat Kurz.
Everything goes back to the beginning, round and round and round and round and round and round, clack, 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 all the little cogs, turning, 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 turning.
The hammering from outside changed. Heavy combat weapons were being employed against the door, a bone-shaking crunching that boomed loudly with every dent put into the metal.
Do you not think it should have been you? Should Father have chosen you as War Master, do you think?
What? Said Sanguinius incredulously.
It's a fair question, protested Kurz. Robute sees fit to declare you Emperor. Do you not think the Emperor could not have seen fit to declare you War Master? You see, although I see your actions before you do, our shared abilities makes reading your intentions so very hard. Your fate is your fate, not mine, and I am genuinely curious. To tell you the truth,
he laughed apologetically,
it is killing me. I have to know.
It should not have been me, said Sanguinius. I am not perfect. I am not worthy. Kurz burst out laughing, so hard he could not control himself. His rank breath choked the room.
I am sorry. I am sorry. That is so marvelous. If you were not worthy, then what about Horus?
He laughed again. I would have been tested as he has been tested. I am glad I did not have to risk failure.
Then prove it. Prove your loyalty to dear Father.
Kurz wiped tears of mirth from his face. They left tracks in the filth.
Kill me. I won't stop you. Let it be a test. I say that I shall die by Father's command.
Father is dead. Curse frowned for a moment, confusion flickering across his gaunt features.
My future cannot be changed, for that is the future, and the future is as dead as the past. You say otherwise.
If my conviction is incorrect, then you can change it right now.
Slay me. I will not hinder you.
Sanguinius hefted his sword. For a moment they stared at each other. Kerr stood with his arms wide open. The Night Haunter tensed in anticipation.
Do it. Run me through with your sword, you coward! Do what Vulcan, the lion, and dull Robute could not. Kill the monster and prove your worth.
Sanguinius ran at his brother, his sword raised. A look of joy crossed Kurz's face. The angel's sword descended in a blurring arc and stopped a hand's breadth from the crown of Kurz's head. The steel hummed at its sudden arresting. Something had stayed Sanguinius's hand. He stepped back, then reversed and sheathed his weapon. Kurz's eyes snapped open, his face twisted with fury and despair.
I will not do it, said Sanguinius. Letting you live is punishment enough.
Do not lie to me, screamed Kurz. This is not about punishment. I thought we were being honest with each other.
There is always hope, brother, even for you.
Hope is an empty dream, said Kurz, honestly.
The unhealthy fervor left his face, taking the madness from his eyes. Without the energy of his broken mind, he seemed diminished and sad. He ran a dirty finger along the pinions of Sanguinius's wing, a madman touching something he believed too wonderful to be real. The limb twitched angrily, and Kurz snatched his hand back.
I sincerely wish there were hope, but that I cannot believe.
Sanguinius held out his hand to his brother. You are a shadow of what you should have been, Conrad. In spite of everything, I pity you. Come with me. It is not too late. We can heal you, and you might be greater.
Kurz's face crumpled, and the spark of insanity ignited in him again.
Pity? I do not need your pity. Sanguinius, Sanguinius, fairest of us all, when will you learn?
The pounding on the door grew louder. The metal buckled. Kurz glanced at it, then back at the angel. He backed away, held up Ascalon by the arm, and grinned.
No matter how hard we wish otherwise, in the end, there is only chaos.
He raised his other hand. He was nearing the outer wall closest to the doorway.
You promised you would not harm him.
We are like father in so many ways.
His eyes glinted.
Just like him, I lied to you.
No!
Screamed Sanguinius. Kurz raised his hand and sliced through Ascalon's arm above the elbow. The sanguinary guard captain fell, but Kurz caught him around his back. Blood sprayed upwards, catching Kurz full in the face. He leaned into it, letting it run over him, eyes bright with ecstasy. All this Sanguinius saw through a prism of horror. Time slowed. Every drop of Ascalon's blood that hit the floor was an executioner's drumbeat. Shame gripped him as his mouth watered. The world was turned inside out. The dead man's switch wired into Ascalon's gauntlet tripped, and the statue of the Emperor in the antechamber exploded, blasting the doors inward and annihilating the sanguinary guard clamoring beside it. Rubble and body parts skittered across the marble. Sanguinius was sent flying backwards by the shockwave, slamming him into his throne. The wall of the throne room collapsed outwards, bringing down part of the ceiling. Blood and powdered mortar stained the flagstones. Ruined masonry thundered down the ramparts of the Fortress of Hera and into the city beneath. Kurz was unharmed. By chance or design, he had found a place untouched by the blast. He stood by the breached wall, a cold wind from outside stirring his stinking cloak. He looked back at his brother, Ascalon's mutilated body in his arms. The two primarchs locked eyes, and a flash of profound understanding passed between them. Curse's sorrow and rage flooded into Sanguinius, and the angel fell to his knees before the throne.
"How could I have known?" he gasped. "Conrad!"
Ascalon's arm had been severed at the elbow, but a thick clot of Laramon cells scabbed over the stump. Such a wound was grievous for a legionary, but not fatal. Ascalon stirred and cried out as Curse lifted him over his head.
"You do not have to do this," said Sanguinius.
"If you believe that, then my visit has been a waste," said Curse,
gently, almost tenderly.
And then he changed again. "Everything goes back to the beginning," he hissed.
Then, with a whip-cracked lunge, he tossed Ascalon from the ramparts. He lifted skyward, sent high by Curse's wiry strength, and seeming to hang a moment over the city lights of Magna Macrag Civitas. Then he plummeted from view. But Sanguinius was already moving, wings spreading, leaping out into the rain and dark and diving down the soaring ramparts, desperate to catch his beloved son. His feathered pinions beating desperately, he drove himself groundwards. His hands closed around Ascalon's greave only meters above the tops of the tallest buildings. Sanguinius sent himself up into a long swooping glide as the ground rushed at them, the changing direction tearing at his Primarch muscles. He hauled Ascalon up into his arms and circled about to the fortress. By the time he returned to the throne room, Curse was nowhere to be seen.